This is a Bible Answers program in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths. Our subject for this program, Paradise Without Pollution. There may be a Bible Answers study group near you. If you would like to know, write to Bible Answers, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Today, the world is quite fearful of what is happening to our air, our land, and our water. And many are predicting dire consequences, even the possible destruction of the human race, if something isn't done and done soon to stop the causes of pollution. But first, this program is brought to you by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine in cooperation with local Bible study groups, and by the friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. Frank, do you think pollution will eventually destroy the human race?
Russell, what I think is not important. It is important, however, and encouraging to know that according to the Bible, the human race will never be destroyed. There is a wonderful promise to this effect in the 45th chapter of Isaiah, verse 18, which reads, "Thus saith the Lord, that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else."
That is a reassuring promise. But, of course, it is just one text of Scripture. Does the general testimony of the Bible convey the same assurance that the human race will never become extinct?
Indeed it does, Russell, and that testimony begins with the Genesis account of creation. Remember, when God created our first parents, he commanded them to multiply and to fill the earth and subdue it.
Frank, you said God commanded also that man should subdue the earth. What does that mean?
Well, at the time of creation, the only part of the earth which was really subdued and ready for human habitation was the small garden which the Creator prepared eastward in Eden. This was the original paradise, and God's commission to man was that as his family increased, the borders of that garden were to be extended until the whole earth was subdued to become as one vast paradise. The earth, you see, was designed to be man's eternal home.
But, Frank, wasn't that all changed when Adam transgressed the divine law and was driven out of the Garden of Eden to die?
No, Russell. God foreknew that this would occur and arranged in advance for the redemption of the human race from sin and death. And I like to think of what the earth and the human race would have been like had it not been for sin. There would have been no sin, of course, no sickness, no war, no death.
And no pollution, I presume.
Right, and Russell, the wonderful thing about this thought is that because of the redemption provided through Jesus Christ and the eventual restoration of those who have gone down into death, that which would have been is yet to be.
Frank, I want to get this straight. Many believe, you know, that God provided heaven as man's eternal home, and that his stay on earth was to be merely temporary. Is this wrong? Is there nothing like that in the Bible?
Nothing at all, Russell. God said nothing to our first parents about going to heaven. They were told to multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and God provided the trees in the garden to sustain human life.
Do you mean to say that there is nothing said in the Bible about a place called heaven?
Oh, no, Russell, I didn't say that at all. Jesus said to his disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come and receive you unto myself." But this invitation was not extended to the whole world of mankind, only to the footstep followers of Jesus. his disciples, and these are promised that if they follow in his steps of sacrifice, faithfully unto death, in the resurrection they will receive a spiritual reward in heaven and will live and reign with Christ 1,000 years.
And what will be the purpose of that 1,000-year reign of Christ and his church? What will it accomplish?
Its purpose will be to restore fallen mankind to life on the earth. At his first advent, Jesus gave his life to redeem mankind from death, and during his second presence, together with his faithful and exalted followers who will reign with him, he will restore to life those for whom he died and thus provided redemption.
Well, that sounds encouraging, and I must admit it also sounds sensible.
And, Russell, there are signs of the times which indicate that we are living in the very end of the unsatisfactory conditions that exist in the earth. This period in which we live is called in the Bible the time of the end.
The end of what?
No, certainly not the end of the earth, nor of mankind, but the end of man's sinful and selfish social order, and the end also of the reign of sin and death. One of the characteristics of this period, termed the time of the end, is that in it there was to be a great increase of knowledge and much running to and fro, and also a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. These descriptions of our day are given in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 4.
I grant that there has been a great increase of knowledge, and knowledge is still increasing for that matter. No one can deny that. When I think of what man is able to accomplish today that he knew nothing about 100 years ago, I marvel. Yet on the other hand, it is this increase of knowledge represented in industry and in automobile and air travel that is polluting our atmosphere and our water and our ground. It would seem that this knowledge, while in many ways a great blessing to mankind, is at the same time threatening the destruction of the human race through pollution.
Very true, Russell. So you see, the Bible's prediction of an increase of knowledge and linking it with a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation is very descriptive of the time in which we are now living.
That is very true. There is trouble everywhere in the world today. The one word which best describes it all to me, I think, is the word chaos. No matter where we look, there seems to be problems which human wisdom cannot solve. By the way, Frank, has the Bible foretold the pollution problem as it exists in the world today?
Yes, I think so. I would like to read a prophecy which is recorded in the 24th chapter of the book of Isaiah. I will read it from the Revised Standard Version. Now, Russell, listen to this. The earth lies polluted under its inhabitants, for they have transgressed the laws, violated the statutes, broken the everlasting covenant.
Very interesting, and a very revealing text of Scripture. The earth lies polluted under its inhabitants. How true. And what a literal description of what many today predict will be true of this earth in a very short period of time if something drastic isn't done. Frank, the prophecy states that this situation will develop because the people have broken the everlasting covenant. Now, what does that mean?
The Bible shows that when our first parents were created, they were, on account of being in the divine image, in covenant relationship with the Lord. It was not long before Adam and Eve transgressed divine law, and this broke their covenant with the Lord, and their progeny has never retrieved this position of oneness with the Creator. While there have been noble examples of those who have endeavored to stem the tide of human selfishness, the vast majority have followed the rule of selfishness with the result of what we see throughout the earth today.
It is true, I believe, that the ecologists of today would have little to complain about if all the people in general conducted their lives and their businesses and their industries according to the principles of righteousness which are laid down in the golden rule of the Bible.
But this will not happen until the rulership of Christ's kingdom is established throughout the earth. Then, the Scriptures assure us, the law of God will be rewritten in the human heart and the knowledge of the Lord will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea.
And could we say that meanwhile it is being demonstrated that man cannot keep himself alive while continuing in selfish rebellion against God, that his own selfishness and foolishness and rebellion would eventually lead to total pollution and the extinction of the human race?
I think that is a reasonable conclusion. God commanded man to fill the earth, and now that this is nearly accomplished, it is posing a problem that human wisdom cannot solve. Man was commanded to subdue the earth, but instead, in his final efforts at self-help, is polluting the earth instead and making it unsuitable for human habitation.
All of which proves, you believe, that the only solution to the problems of human selfishness is divine intervention in the affairs of men.
And, Russell, that is one of the main points established by the Bible in the free booklet entitled Paradise Without Pollution. Will you tell our friends about this book and invite them to send for a copy?
Gladly, Frank. Friends, just as Frank has indicated, the little book, Paradise Without Pollution, will be mailed to you free and without obligation. Do you know that ultimately there is to be a worldwide paradise right here on earth? Do you know that the great Creator will know how to solve the problems of environmental pollution and will do so through the agencies of Christ's kingdom? Do you know that you will see and know your loved ones in the resurrection? These are but some of the questions which you will find answered in the little book, Paradise Without Pollution. Send for your copy today. In sending your request, the one word paradise is all you need to remember. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. I repeat, send your address to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City, and the little book will be sent to you free and without obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.